Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 314.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 314. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you, as always, so much for listening. Thank you for being here. I feel exhilarated today. I feel fulfillment. Not many people probably say that. But I just got off the first kickoff event call or Zoom meeting with all the brand new accelerator students. And it was such a pleasure to talk to everyone, have everyone share their story together. I had been working with them previously as far as custom lessons go prior to this, kind of leading up to the first kickoff event because it was part of the bonus package. But it's just such a pleasure to hear everyone's story and empathize with people and like the way they've, the way the music has, you know, been so important to them throughout their life, but struggling and really having a desire to get better at the music and not, and just going through so many challenges, the same exact challenges that I have gone through and struggled with. And I consistently see students struggle with to this day, right? And it's the main reason that I've created Jazz Piano School. And one of the teachers on there said they appreciated my, you know, granular steps that I provide in my custom lesson plans and JPS in general in the membership area and the self-study area, but because that's helped so much, right? A lot of times when we take jazz lessons, it's so nebulous. It's so like wishy-washy, and someone said they tried to take a lesson and, you know, some guy was like, hey, just come to my house. You know, I'll show you some stuff. And then they're waiting on his doorstep for like an hour and a half. And you know, finally he got there and was like, just play some stuff, man. Just try to play this. And they're like, you'll hear it. Kind of just play through the chords. Like, what is that? That's not education, you know? Like, I've never really understood that in jazz. It's always bothered me. And literally, it's the reason that I do what I do. It's the drive inside of me to help other students like you, not go through that, not go through the same bad and negative experiences that I've had. I want to stop students from having those. I want to present clear, structured, organized information that makes you feel good about yourself and puts you on a path to success, right? That's literally my goal. That's my mission for Jazz Piano School. And long story short, it's so pleasurable to be in community, in a musical community. Like, what would I rather be doing? Like on this beautiful Tuesday morning, besides sitting with other fellow jazz musicians looking to get better at this wonderful music, I mean, I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative for just this, the life that I have and the career and kind of like the desire that I have to help. I'm just like appreciative that I have that within me because it's very fulfilling to me. And so anyway, I just feel kind of like overwhelmed in a great way, running another program like this, which was so successful the first time and is going so well the second time, and also starting a new mastermind as well, which is really, really cool, a 9-month program, right? So the accelerator program is 3 months, 9 months. I'm not going to stop talking about the programs, I promise, but they are starting now. So I just had the first kickoff event. I'll get back into other things. I promise you, you've been listening to me talk about the accelerator, the mastermind program. I appreciate you, okay? I see you, I understand, I hear you, and I appreciate you, and I'm thankful you're still listening because I listen to podcasts too. I'm a human being. I do the exact same things with you as you do, Okay, I go on YouTube, I watch videos, right? I sit at home, I watch TV, trust me, okay, when I'm not working. And when someone is talking about the same thing all the time, I'm just like, oh my God, can you please stop with this? So trust me, I just want to say thank you. This is a super fun podcast. And a lot of times, so many times in music, we hear fast lines that are moving up and down. We have no idea what they are or how to achieve them in an easy, simple way. So Sterling Koza, one of our amazing Jazz Piano School educators, is going to teach you a really fun and easy three-finger trick. I hate using the word trick, but it really is. Like, it's like a hack. It really is. And he's so clever for spotting this because I do it all the time too. And when you see how this works, you're going to be like, what? Oh my God. Like, you'll be able to start implementing lines or at least practicing this in a really easy way to start to make this happen. And a lot of you with dexterity and technique, if you've taken piano for a long time, like classical, this will be a breeze for you, right? If you're kind of still getting into piano or learning piano, like this will be, you'll probably have to practice it, but at least you have the roadmap. At least you have like the knowledge on like how this happens, right? So these fast runs, it will open up like fast, long arpeggios for fills. I shouldn't say arpeggios, but fast runs for fills, for your solo piano, for soloing, for improvisation, for comping, all that good stuff. So with that being said, let's dive right in. Here we go.
What's up, everybody? I've got a pattern that I want to show you today that is a lot easier than it looks, and it's going to have you sounding like a virtuoso in no time. Now, the best pianists that use these patterns are flourishes, going all the way back to Art Tatum, Teddy Wilson. They had little tricks at the keyboard, specific fingerings and shapes that they used. In cutting contests, you know, especially to impress the audience and cut other piano players. Now, I don't encourage any type of cutting, you know, cutting of any sorts, but that being said, it is important to, you know, have things that you feel confident in that make you sound good at the instrument. And this is one I'm going to show you today that I think you're going to like, that will come in handy in a variety of settings. So, this pattern comes from what we call the hexatonic scale. We all know the pentatonic scale, you know that type of five note scale that works really well over like minor chords. You could also use it over major sections. But hexatonic, meaning six, we're gonna just add one note to get a little extra flavor. If we're in the key of D flat, we're going to take that pentatonic scale, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, and we're going to add a sixth note. It's actually the seventh. So we're adding the seventh, that's our sixth note, and we've got this new scale, hexatonic, meaning six notes. I like this one because adding that seventh in there gives it a lot of extra color and also allows it to fit over a variety of tonalities. So if we're using it over D flat major 7, we can go down and go up. In the key of D flat, we're going to start on the fourth finger. So that's four fingers total. Then wrapping over the third finger, landing on the thumb. So it becomes a three-finger pattern. We start on the fourth finger, and we wrap over the third, and then use 3-2-1, 3-2-1, 3-2-1, 3-2-1, 3-2-1. Now that becomes a really easy finger pattern that you can play very quickly, playing 3-2-1, 3-2-1, 3-2-1. Let's see what that sounds like. We can do the same thing going up. So in slow motion, going down. If we did it going up, we would start on the second finger. And we end on the fourth finger. So this pattern really centers around 3-2-1. It either starts on the fourth finger or the second finger. So you can practice it in both directions. Now, we said that this pattern works over a variety of chords. So we did it over a major 7. We can also do it over a minor 7. The relative minor would be B flat minor. We would start on the minor 3rd, or starting on the 9th. Kind of gives it a B flat minor 9 type of sound. Now, another tonality would be a Lydian or a sharp 4. We could do G flat Lydian starting on the sharp 4 with our 4th finger. We could also do E flat 13 starting on the 13th, E flat minor. Right? So now we've got 4 different sounds that we can use this same scale in the key of D flat. We've got D flat major, B flat minor, G flat major, and E flat minor. Let's hear all those together. So that tends to work really well, especially I like the key of D flat because it fits in my hands really well. Now, what if we did this in some other keys? Let's see what that would look like. I like to practice this in minor thirds. So we just did D flat. Now let's do it in E, E major. This time we're going to start on the 3rd finger. Remember, we've got our pentatonic scale, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. That's 5 notes. And we're going to add the 7th to make it 6 notes. Going up, starting on the thumb this time. Now we're just using 1, 2, 3. What if we did it in the key of G? Then we'd start on the 7th, our hexatonic scale. Again, just 1, 2, 3. So you can see this 3-finger approach works really well, especially if you do it quickly. You can practice it slowly first. And then see how fast you can do it. And if we added one more key, let's do B flat this time. Starting on the 4th finger, A. This one's a little trickier. This is probably the hardest key. 4, 3, 2, 1. And then we'll cross over with 3. And then thumb on A. And then we're doing 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1. Going up, you're going to have the thumb on B-flat. Sorry, the 3rd finger on B-flat. Or the 4th finger, whichever one works the best. That key, you probably need to spend some time figuring out which fingering works best for you. But for the majority of the keys, you can just use 3-2-1. Alright, let's do a combination of those. Going in minor thirds. So that's a nice little progression you can practice. D flat, E major, G major 7, B flat major 7. pattern really comes in handy. There's one more trick I want to show you, and this is sort of a triads-based pattern that you can build on top of this hexatonic scale. It uses the same notes, but in a different order. This time, we're going to create a triad based on the root and the fifth. And it goes like this, 3-5-2-1. So we're going to use all five fingers this time. This is a little bonus lick. Using the hexatonic scale. Let's do it in E. What about a different key? What about A? And D. So that lick you can combine with this hexatonic scale, and then you have two things that fit really well in your hand. So if I were doing sort of a combination improvising with these chords, it might sound something like this. So you can use these techniques, these fingerings, to play some lines that sound more virtuosic, but they fit really well in the hand, so you'll be sounding like a virtuoso in no time. I hope you enjoy, and I'll see you next time. Happy practicing!